Thank you for tuning in to the WEEM Weekly Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast produced by 91.7 WEEM to share with you all about what is going on around our school and community. You can find past, present, and future episodes of this podcast at 917WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found.
Welcome to a WEEM Weekly Episode 10, the recap episode.
In this episode, we took portions of previous interviews and we expanded more on our thoughts about said questions.
Yeah, so we took the segments and certain clips and questions we will play in this episode, and then we will, Brooklyn and I, talk about them and share our thoughts about them. So stay tuned for that, and we hope you enjoy episode 10. Let's see. How do you feel after last year ended? Like, were you... Do you think you came into this year better prepared than you did that first quarter?
So, short answer is yes. I wanted to do a ton of writing over the summer, get done like the first two units. That didn't happen. Right now, I'm writing it day by day, basically. But from a mindset point of view, from knowledge about the school, I feel much more comfortable. Because last year, I knew where the men's bathroom was. I knew where the teacher's lounge was, and I knew where my classroom was when I walked in on my first day.
And then everything else was like...
Everything else, no clue. I just had to figure it out.
Yeah.
So definitely feel more prepared this semester. And being able to have some experience before the actual first day of school made it much less...
Intimidating?
Intimidating is a good word. Because I already knew where stuff was. I didn't also have to learn the school when I came in.
Yeah.
So.
So you almost came in prepared like a... teacher who had worked a complete year would,
almost,
but you just had one quarter.
Correct.
Which is rather impressive. It's like, it shows one quarter can put you that much further.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going in just brand new.
Absolutely.
Let's see. How do you feel, how did you feel after last year ended? Like, were you, do you think you came into this year better prepared than you did that first quarter?
So, short answer is yes. I wanted to do a ton of writing over the summer, get done like the first two units. That didn't happen. Right now I'm writing it day by day, basically, but from a mindset point of view, from, knowledge about the school, I feel much more comfortable because last year I knew where the men's bathroom was. I knew where the teacher's lounge was, and I knew where my classroom was when I walked in on my first day.
And then everything else was like...
Everything else, I just had to figure it out.
Yeah.
So definitely feel more prepared this semester. And being able to have some experience before the actual first day of school made it much less...
Intimidating?
Intimidating is a good word. Because I already knew where stuff was. I didn't also have to learn the school when I came in.
Yeah.
So.
So you almost came in prepared like a... teacher who had worked a complete year would,
almost,
but you just had one quarter.
Correct.
Which is rather impressive. It's like, it shows one quarter can put you that much further.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going in just brand new.
Absolutely.
What would students be surprised to know about you as a person?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know, because I feel like I talk, not about myself all the time, but I try to have my students like get to know me. I don't know what would be surprising. I go to a lot of concerts. That's something that, I haven't been, we didn't go this summer as many, but we try to get like the Ruoff like lawn passes. And we went to like 20 concerts a couple summers ago. So maybe that, like, I'll like stay out late and like go to concerts and stuff.
Yeah, partying.
Yeah. yeah, maybe that.
That was Mrs. LaPlante in our first episode of this season, talking
where
about.
We were talking to new teachers to the school system.
Yeah and she talked about how she goes to concerts. When I asked her about what we would be surprised to know about her, and I'm honestly a little surprised, I never thought of teachers as like party animals or people that would go out and go to concerts.
Yeah, you don't think about it because teachers are supposed to be the responsible ones almost. And I'm not saying you can't be responsible if you go to concerts. It's just usually not the responsible thing you hear when someone says, what's a responsible thing? You usually don't hear going to concerts.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of unexpected.
Yeah, and I guess I don't even think about like teachers I don't know, doing anything outside of school.
Yeah,
so.
you just think of them as the teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, coming up next is my segment. Yes, and I was talking to Caitlin Cowan. Stay tuned for that. So what can you tell us about All Shook Up?
So All Shook Up, it starts off with this prisoner, and he basically, like, not escapes, but he gets let go. And so he, like, you know, as he's traveling away from the prison, he comes across this very depressing town. And the reason why it's so depressing is because they have a very strict mayor. She doesn't allow PDA. She doesn't allow tight leather pants. She doesn't allow music or dancing. So it kind of sounds like Footloose almost. But it's all Elvis Presley music. And the thing about 80s last year is it was all 80s music, yes, but we didn't really have much of a plot. I mean, that's what a jukebox musical is. It's all same genre or same artists in a musical. But All Shook Up is all Elvis Presley, and it does actually have a story. So it kind of just follows along Chad. His name is Chad, and how he basically uplifts this town's spirits. This has to be the most funnest fall musical I've ever been in, but also the most confusing because everyone is falling in love with each other and I can't keep up. Like, even though I'm in it, I'm just like, who is in love with this person now? I don't know, but it's so fun. I love it.
So essentially it's Footloose, but his name's Chad and it's Elvis themed.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing here.
Yeah, basically.
That was Caitlin Cowan talking about theater from episode 6. And I myself attended the All Shook Up performance. I was there all 3 nights, and I even bought the DVD of the performance.
Wow, that is very dedicated. I did not get to go see this one. I did go see the last one, though.
So you did not go attend All Shook Up. You should have attended it.
I know. I really wanted to, but I think I was just out of, like, Pendleton.
You were out of Pendleton at the time? Yeah. That is unfortunate. But, you know, we do have the DVD now, so
yeah,
maybe sometime
true.
You'll get to see it.
True.
And I do agree, there was a lot of ties to Footloose as they're bringing music to a town that it's forbidden. So, I mean, that's like the basic plot of Footloose in a way. And it also has ties to Elvis as it's his music, kind of his style, the 50s. And Chad, the main character, is just so much he's just Elvis, essentially.
Fun fact, but I only watched Footloose for the first time, like, last year.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I thought it was such a good movie. I really liked it. But I did not know that, like, Elvis would be such a big thing in high school. Like, it just didn't occur to me that people would listen to music from such a long time ago.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Elvis is a very famous musician. Back to All Shook Up, with the weird love directions everyone went in, I do agree it was kind of construed where you couldn't tell who was in love with who, but eventually you do kind of figure it out towards the end, especially when it's established who gets with who.
You know what it sounds like?
What does it sound like?
Greek mythology.
I guess it does.
It really does.
I will give it to you. Anyway, coming up next is Brooklyn Talking with Miss B. Stay tuned for that.
Awesome. Well, what does the casting process look like for you especially, but the students too?
When they get ready to audition, we have an open audition, which means anyone in the school can audition. You don't have to be in a class. You don't ever have to have ever had a class. Mm-hmm. And you sign up. It takes about 5 minutes. They come in. They sing a song for us so we can hear their voice and make sure they have some musicality. Yeah. And then they'll read something from the script. And then sometimes we'll call back. This time we called back, I would say about 8. We called back to hear them a second time with a song from the show. And then once you do that, you cast everybody. We ended up with a cast of about 50 kids who are participating.
Oh, wow.
So, and we had to cut a few, but still a good number of kids represented. And it always makes me happy because there are so many kids from so many different areas.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll have kids in the FFA. We'll have kids that almost every sport represented that just, hey, this will be fun and I think I'll do it. And it's not like, oh, boy, I'm going to be an actor when I get out of high school.
Yeah.
It's just, this will be fun. And I really do feel like they think it's a family. You know, we try to, no matter who you are, and no matter how weird you are, everybody fits in. And we have a motto, be kind or be quiet. So that's kind of it.
Okay, that was Miss Brown in our theater episode where I asked her what the casting process looked like for her and the students. And she talked about open auditions and how people from any class can audition. They don't even have to be in a class. And I think that is super cool, especially since sometimes you might not want to commit to a full class, but you can like dip your toes in kind of and really just get a feel for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, episode 6, we're talking all about theater and All Shook Up. And you don't have to take a class to get a feel for theater, see if you like it. You can just do a performance. If you like it, then you can maybe take a class next semester. Or if you don't like it, you don't have to keep going with it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got a short period of time, so you don't have to commit to anything serious yet, but you can still try it out.
And you can even try like smaller roles, so you don't have to like jump in like head first.
Yeah, you don't have to be the lead. You can be like ensemble.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming up next, we have Parker Brown, so stay tuned for that.
Now here is a short promotion before our next interview.
91.7 WEEM is a student-run radio station. We provide everything from programming to music to live sports broadcasts and podcasts. But we can't do it without your support. Everything you donate goes to the station that the students operate here on 91.7 WEEM. Donate today at 917WEEM.org. Again, that is 917WEEM.org.
Why do you think students or even the incoming freshmen should join in on theater?
Well, it's a great experience. It's very fun. There's something for everyone there. It's not, like I said, just acting and singing, which, I mean, there's still an aspect of that there.
Yeah.
So people who do like to act and sing can come, act, sing, have fun with that. But there's also the construction side of it where you're having to build the sets and building things such as the bar that I mentioned. Or there's also the lighting aspect. So if someone wants to look more into a technical side, like electrician, like someone interested in that or someone interested in just a hands-on job, it's a great place for that. There's also the sound and the just great sense of community there is. Everyone's pretty friendly and welcoming there, so it's a great place to be and hang out and just enjoy your time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's nice, and for anyone who wants to do that, you should definitely go out, join theater, or at least give it a try. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not as good as radio, but it's still up there as one of the best ones.
Well,
that might be my bias speaking a little there. That was Parker Brown from the theater episode of episode 6. And I do agree, Sam, I am a little biased, but radio is better. Now, Parker talked about it's engaging for the freshmen and other students to join in on theater as they get into multiple aspects of it's not just singing and dancing and acting, unless you're into that, but there's also construction, which is always fun. There's sound work and there's lighting, and then there's just a great sense of community within the theater.
Yeah, for sure. And I definitely think that's why so many people are interested in theater when they come to the school. I feel like we have a lot of freshmen that do plays in the middle school. I know our middle school has a really good like theater department that they put on plays, but it kind of helps ease you into the high school type of feel. And I definitely think that their community is really nice.
The community is really nice. And I would even say, going back further, the 5th grade and 6th grade classes usually have plays as well. So that slowly eases into going into middle school and their performances. I think it's called drama there.
Yeah, I think so.
Drama, and then moving up to theater in high school, which is much bigger of a production, but also still such a nice community and a lot of helpful people going into it.
Yeah, you kind of get, like, all the stages of theater from, like, your elementary school theater to, like, middle school drama plays to theater in high school. You kind of get, like, the full experience, which is really cool.
Yeah, you could be in theater from, like, 5th grade all the way to your senior year. That's about 11 years.
That's crazy.
No, sorry, 7 years.
I can't do math.
That's a constant theme. I can't do math. 7 years of theater. And you could even take that out into the world with you because there's so many skills in theater that you can use outside of it.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we have Daniel being interviewed by Brooklyn. Stay tuned for that.
How do you guys prepare for a play? What's that look like?
Okay, so it's actually a lot of fun. It just depends. For example, like the fall plays, if you're in the cast of that, like it was my first opportunity to be in one. It was Noises Off. What you do originally is after the cast list comes out, if you got casted, you go do a cold read around a table and just read through it with the cast and get comfortable with everyone. And then this goes for musicals too now. Basically, it's like you start doing rehearsals and you learn a lot of your music. And then when you learn your music, then you start staging it. And after you're done staging it, usually the staging and the music comes together. And then you have like a little scene going on. And then that's where the artistic masterpiece of Mrs. Brown comes in, and she's kind of like talking about what should happen and how you should act and what you should look like when you're singing a song. Or and then also Jim McGee, he's our music director, and he's great about like saying how you should sing stuff and giving you opportunities of how to sing it, like open to your eye and how you think it should be viewed.
Daniel in our theater episode also, and when I asked him about the preparing for a play, he talked about cold reads, rehearsing, learning the music, practicing on stage, appearances, and then stage direction. So there's a lot that goes into these plays that you wouldn't really think about.
Yeah, it's not just like, oh, you practice your lines and you go up on stage. No, it's a long process where you have to do all these things to be ready to play your part, and you have to get into character, and it's a much longer process that takes more time and effort than most people give it credit for.
And most people don't think about how much, like, these theater kids or the people that are even in the plays are actually doing a lot of the backstage stuff, too. So that could put even more time on their hands.
Yeah, they're doing stuff backstage. Like, sometimes they help build the sets. They're helping to paint. They're helping to move stuff around behind the scenes when they're not on stage that moment.
Yeah. Up next.
Yeah, next. Up next is Mr. Stevens from episode 7, so stay tuned for that. What are some of the differences between the French culture and English culture?
One thing is our culture tends to be a lot louder than France. It's not uncommon to see people talking really close to each other because people don't want other people to understand or hear what they're talking about. And here we have us, and this is not, of course, not true for every person.
Yeah.
But in general, people here tend to talk a little bit louder, talk a little bit further apart from each other. That's one difference. Something else, when it comes to eating and food, French people tend to spread out their meals and they eat for a longer period of time because they also view it as a social time. It's a time to talk to your friends, talk to your family. Whoever you're eating with. Here, it can be a thing if you eat, like at school lunch, 30 minutes, you eat. Yes, you're with your friends, but it's like pretty quick.
Yeah.
French students, they have a lot longer. They can have an hour or longer for lunch. They have 5-course meals sometimes in their schools. So that's a difference. Also, grading-wise, like in school, the grading system's out of 20, and there's no letter grades. A 10 out of 20 is passing, and there is a lot more emphasis on more difficult tests. Like in a lot of tests, there's a written portion and a speaking portion. So here, maybe a speaking portion may just be for a language class.
Yeah.
But in France, they have to be able to defend their thoughts and basically do spoken essays in almost all of their classes. So those are just some differences.
Yeah, it's almost like the speech class we have here where you have to make a defense and defend your point of view and such.
Yep, and something that students have to take in France is philosophy. And that's something a class, if a school has it, it's just an elective. But in France, it's something that people have to take because philosophy is a big deal in France.
I believe that, honestly. I wouldn't know it personally. I've never been, but I do believe that that would be a big portion of their school system and culture and such. That was Mr. Stevens for episode 7 with the language teachers. And he talked about how Americans are generally louder when having a conversation as compared to the French, where they talk closer together, they talk quieter, they don't want people to hear them. I guess we do talk, not really, I guess, we do talk a lot louder.
Yeah, for sure.
And further apart. We don't have our heads like next to each other. We're very loud people.
Honestly, I do remember I took a world languages class, who knows how long ago. It was in middle school.
Yeah.
Mr. Stevens talked about, like, personal space really isn't, like, a huge thing in France and French-speaking countries. And I don't think I'd be able to live there. Like, I need my personal space.
Yeah. It's like there is no personal space. There is no bubble. Everyone's, like, right mm-hmm. on top of each other to talk. Again, he mentioned they have longer lunches as well. That's another social time for them to all talk. And to think that they can be, like, going up an hour of talking while we just have, like, 30 minutes.
That's crazy.
For lunch. I don't want a long lunch. That would be nice.
I don't know. I feel like I would rather... I feel like having a long lunch, you just feel like the day goes on for so long.
Probably, but it also has longer time to actually eat, so you're not feeling rushed to eat.
True.
And then he mentioned there are different grading scale, which it's on a 20-point scale, and like a 10 out of 20 is passing.
That is crazy.
Here, a 10 out of 20 is equivalent almost to an F, which would be failing. That's a failing grade here.
I would pass so many classes if I had that grading scale.
I know no one would ever. Well, I'm not going to say no one, but yeah. A lot of people would not fail. That's true.
I guess they do. I mean...
Well, only if they're getting 10 out of 20s. I guess they're probably getting higher, though.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, coming up next, we have Brooklyn talking with the German exchange teachers who were here back in the fall. Stay tuned for that.
So what is it? What is some things that you've noticed, like, coming over here that are different from German normality life?
Are you talking about difference in school or difference in culture?
Either or.
Well, in school life, it's quite different here. In Germany, we have many more classes every year and a different schedule every day.
Oh, wow.
And I think the greatest difference for the students is that they have to change. They don't change their room every lesson. It's the teachers who walk to the to the students.
Oh, wow.
And so we are running around the whole day and not the students.
Is it kind of nice? Having to stay in one room instead of?
I think for teachers, this must be really nice to be able to decorate your room and to welcome the students and then have the room for yourself again.
Yeah. And then do you have a homeroom or something like that? Or is it just every room is shared between teachers?
Like the smaller grades, like grade 5, 6, and 7, they have their homeroom and they stay in their room and all the teachers go to their room. And on the grade 8 and 9 forward, they just run around in the building for every other lesson.
Oh, wow.
And we teachers, we have one big room where we meet during the breaks, and it's getting very noisy there. And everyone is talking, and I think that's one thing that's maybe a bit better in Germany. We can talk about the students. And
yeah. Gossip.
Gossip, of course.
No, we don't gossip about the students.
Sure. Is there like a teacher in that room or someone has to keep quieting down all the other teachers or you guys?
Well,
there is no one, but sometimes it might be helpful if there were someone.
That'd be pretty funny if you had a teacher for the teachers.
That was the German exchange teachers in our German episode when I asked about what are the difference between German life and American life, and they talked about how the teachers move from class to class and not the students, which is very different from our life here.
Yeah, so episode 7, the language episodes where we're talking to French, Spanish, German, and we were able to talk with the German exchange teachers. And just that teachers move around to classrooms instead of having a designated classroom and students moving, it's the opposite here. It's like it's the teacher's classroom and the students move. There, it's the student's classroom, I guess, and the teacher moves, which is very strange. I'd be kind of curious to see how that process works.
And honestly, I think it would kind of suck for the teachers and the students because, like, students need to move around.
Yeah.
Like, having us sit down for 8 hours a day sounds like a horrible idea.
Yeah.
And then the teachers not having, like, a homeroom or a room to put all their stuff, And you won't get to decorate your homeroom, which sounds like it would be pretty boring.
You don't get to decorate your classroom. You don't get to personalize it with just who you are. And then where do you keep extra materials? Does every room just have extra materials?
I guess so.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, up next is EJ from the choir episode 8. So stay tuned for that.
Now here is a short promotion before our next interview.
Here at 91.7 WEEM, we keep updated with our community by being on the hottest social media platforms around. Follow us at 91.7 WEEM on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. Follow us today! We would love to hear from all of our listeners, so go to our Instagram today to answer our daily poll. Keep updated with our latest posts and trends here on 91.7 WEEM.
How involved are you in the choir outside of school? So, like, not just in school hours.
Outside of school, well, do you mean rehearsals or me in general?
Rehearsals and just you in general.
Okay, well, rehearsals, we have them most times 2 times a week, but today it's only one because, well, this Thursday is quite exciting because we finally get to learn our closer, which has been custom written for us.
Really?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Besides that, it's just sometimes a couple hours after school, if they need help moving things, risers and such, and I'll be there to help out.
That's always nice. So you're just constantly helping out, staying involved.
Exactly. Trying to be in it, be as involved as I can.
That was EJ Oham, or Eric Oham, and he was from the episode 8, the choir/winter show episode. Now, he talked about being in choir as he is new to choir, and how much time he spends in choir. Now, it's his first year in choir, and he spends possibly multiple hours after school some days, as he said, working for the choir, not just practicing and performing and such like you'd almost expect for choir, but he also does a lot of physical activity of moving stuff like the risers and just getting work done needed to be done for their performances that isn't just the practicing.
Honestly, I feel like that might be like a hidden... It could be a pro or a con, I guess, if you want to stay after school and work for stuff, or if you didn't, then it'd probably be a con. But kind of like a hidden thing, because when you think of choir, you just think of the singing and the dancing and the performing, and you don't really think about, like, the stages and the props and all that. As like, the choir kids doing that.
You'd almost think they have, like, someone else doing that. But no, it's the choir kids themselves doing it.
Yeah.
So it's all work they're doing, not just the performance that they're doing.
Which I think, like, especially in the end, at the end of the performance, that makes it, like, so much better and so much more, like...
It's nice for the students because they're like, I made this happen.
Yeah, exactly.
This is my work being done.
There's, like, a gratitude word that I just can't think of.
Yes. I feel like it's the same with multiple of the different activities you can do with the fine arts stuff. Like... radio, for example, we do all this stuff behind the scenes that is very, like, rewarding almost to see your work be put out on air. Like, I did that.
Yeah, and sometimes we're here multiple hours a day, so after school.
And theater does the same thing, where it's the theater kids moving stuff around, getting props made and put together, as we heard from Parker.
Yeah, for sure.
Coming up next, we do have the Christmas episode. So stay tuned for Mr. Johnson.
Watch Elf, and that kind of helps jar my Christmas spirit there.
Speaking of, do you put your tree up December 1st? Do you put it up right after Thanksgiving? It's a big debate.
Yeah. Usually not too long after Thanksgiving. It depends on the year. This year it's up. It got up right after Thanksgiving just because one of my kids took the initiative to put it up. So,
oh, wow.
It just depends. Like I think it's been a week before Christmas that I actually got the tree up, but sometimes it's up for 2 months after Christmas. So
that's what we do. I think that the longest we've ever had it up was like till May.
Right.
We don't put down our Christmas tree. We love it. But this year my brother's got to decide on our Christmas tree look, and it looks kind of hideous. I got to be honest. We have a ton of blue lights.
Right.
And so usually we just do white lights and then we have like this tinsel thingy that goes around it. But this year they wanted to put blue lights on with the white lights. So it was like a ton of blue. So then we had to put in the colored lights too to like even out the blue. And it's an eyesore, I gotta be honest.
I think Christmas trees are kind of supposed to be eyesores, though. I think the more gaudy it is, the better it is.
True.
Like, we used to always have real Christmas trees, even like up until I would say a couple years ago, I would almost always have a real Christmas tree. My grandfather had a Christmas tree farm, so that was, speaking of tradition, that was one of the traditions we always had, is to go to my grandfather's and actually cut down a tree from the Christmas tree farm and then take it back home with us. Now I always, the bad part about that is, of course, you know, once it starts losing all its needles, then you have to get rid of it. But now that I have a fake tree, it's like, I could just keep it up all year, I guess, if I wanted, but then I don't know if it'd be quite as special. So, this year we have one of those trees that actually has lights built into it, but the lights stopped working. So
even though it has lights built into it,
we actually still had to put lights around it.
Yeah. I feel like it's such a pain, but I mean, what can you do? Except for get a new tree, but that's
it's easier just to stick more lights around.
Yeah, definitely. That was Mr. Johnson in our Christmas episode, and we talked about when do you put up your tree, because it is a huge debate if you put your tree up after Christmas, on the first day of Christmas, closer to Christmas, or even earlier than that.
After Christmas? Before Christmas. I was about to say, do you mean after Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah.
Because you went after Christmas. Who's putting up their tree after Christmas?
Honestly, if I forgot to put my tree up, I would put it up after Christmas. You still got like 3 months that thing is valid.
But then it's like, do you wake up Christmas and just walk around like nothing's happening?
Yeah, or
do you,
exactly.
Like, in my opinion, you'd be like, you'd put it up Christmas Eve or Christmas if you forgot.
I don't know.
Not the day after.
Print a picture. It's the same thing.
Print a picture.
But he talked about how Christmas trees are kind of supposed to be hideous. That's kind of like a family tradition. It's like a part of Christmas.
It's a part of Christmas. It's like a tradition, I can't think of the word.
I can't think of the word.
I guess it would be a tradition.
It's like a symbol.
Really.
It's like a symbol for Christmas.
A symbol
it's
of
hideous
Christmas.
Christmas trees.
I would argue Christmas trees don't look hideous. They're supposed to be family oriented or style, if that's what you're going for.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if it looks kind of ugly, that's just it does. I don't know what to do about that, but
I mean, our Christmas tree looked amazing the year before. It's just when we let the boys at it, it didn't do too well.
It was blue, you said. What else was wrong with it?
Well, we had like white lights, but the white lights only went up about 3/4 of the tree.
Oh, so the top of the tree was just...
Yeah, and my brother thought that the solution was to put blue Christmas tree lights on the tree with it to, like, you know, even out. But then there's 1/4 of the tree that's only blue, then the rest, and there's so much blue lights. So then we tried to even it out with the blue lights, so we put colored lights on there. So then it was a ton of blue, 3/4 white, and then colored lights.
Yeah, no, that's just... It's a mess.
It's a mess. We just took it down a few weeks ago, but...
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, no, it was a mess. Understandable. Up next is Mr. Elrod from Episode 9, the Christmas episode, so stay tuned for that. Do you have a big Christmas dinner with your family?
If we are together, yes. It might not necessarily be on Christmas, but my father-in-law, for Thanksgiving, for sure, deep fries a turkey.
Really?
And so there's then also Christmas. We usually try to deep fry a turkey. Best turkey ever, just deep frying it. But so I usually do that. And the last few years with kids, we usually have Christmas kind of lunch with my in-laws.
Yeah.
And we spend Christmas morning at our house, go to their house, go for lunch, then go to my parents' house up in South Bend. And then we usually have a Christmas dinner there. So
that's a big few meals.
Oh, yeah. Breakfast at our house, lunch at the in-laws, dinner at my parents' house. It's a lot of eating.
Yeah, I believe it. That was Mr. Elrod from Episode 9, the Christmas episode, where he was, I had asked him about Christmas dinner, and he went above and beyond with this, explaining the three Christmas meals they have, and technically the three Christmases they have at his house, where they start in the morning, have breakfast at their house, Christmas breakfast, along with opening gifts there, go to his in-laws, have Christmas there, and have lunch there, a Christmas lunch, then go to his parents' have Christmas dinner there and open gifts there.
Ooh. That is crazy.
That is a very big Christmas meals. I can't just say meal. It's meals. along with a lot of gift opening. That is three Christmases in one day.
All in one day. I feel like you definitely need to spread that out a little bit. But I guess scheduling-wise, Christmas is like your super free day. Sometimes people have to go back to work the next day or the next day after that. So yeah. I get it.
I if it works out timing-wise and everyone's game to do it, I guess do you, I guess. That is...
Yeah. I'd have to skip a meal, though. Three big meals in one day, that is
crazy. I don't
know
if I could do it.
Oh, no, definitely not.
No, I gotta skip one.
I actually have one more Christmas to go to. I've had...
Really?
I think I've had three. And I have one more to go to that I have not gone to yet.
I also have one more, actually, to go to. I've had technically two. Three. Also three.
Whoa.
Wow. Okay. Brooklyn and I are on the same page. That doesn't happen often. Anyway, coming up next is the final segment for this recap with Nate Walls. So stay tuned
Thank
for that.
Thank you for listening to the WEEM Weekly Podcast. Join us next time at 917weem.org or wherever podcasts can be found.